We'll turn now to God's word and trust the Lord will bless us in that. Oh, yes, I was going to say that my brother lives in Houston and my son in Irving, Texas, not far away from there. And while I'm down that way, I want to visit them, so that'll take a few extra days. And I wouldn't want to come right through Houston and pass my brother up, though I did once the last time I was down there, and he never knew I was down that way. I didn't want him to know it when I just passed him up. But I hope I won't have to pass him up this time. And so just pray, that's all I can say. I want to turn now to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'll read a few verses here, about the first six verses maybe. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, I want to pursue the thought some further of the mind. And since the mind occupies the place that it does in all of our life and all our doings, I feel that it would be rather difficult to overemphasize the importance of the mind. And the scripture spells it out black and white that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that makes it pretty important, doesn't it? Now, people tell me many times, I can't help what I think. God pity you if you can't help what you think. Now that isn't so. People think it's so, but it isn't. And the good news that I bring you this morning is that God has provided ways and means and has given us the equipment whereby to discipline our minds and to control our thoughts. Amen. What we need in every phase of life is to learn discipline. Yes. Yes. The ultimate aim of life, scripturally, is perfection. But you cannot have perfection without discipline. Whipping yourself into line. Bringing yourself under control. And this is more true in regard to your mind than any other part of you. We need to learn to practice discipline on our minds, to control our thoughts. I mentioned to you last Sunday, I believe, that there are certain souls that Evelyn and I, we pray together every morning about this. There are certain souls that we have singled out to pray for their salvation. We prayed for quite a little while without seeing any results. So I've begun to pray in the last little while that God would touch the minds of these folks and turn their thoughts in a different channel. Help them to think differently to what they're thinking. Your mind's going to lead you. If God can get into your mind, He'll have you pretty soon. As long as the devil controls your mind, you'll never get to God. But the mind and the thoughts will be running on the world and the things of the world and your selfish desires and all of those things. You need your mind touched by divine power. Amen. To change your way of thinking and get your thoughts to running in a different channel. Now he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Imagination is an activity of the mind. And people, their imaginations just run wild sometimes. And they come up in a pretty troubled state and condition over their imaginations. But that's all a concoction of the mind. The mind produces those kinds of imaginations that run wild and produce confusion and trouble for people. But now here he says, casting down imaginations. My father used to say that imagination was the greatest nation there was. And I about believe it. And people's imaginations get them into lots of problems and lots of trouble. Bring them into much confusion. Just their minds running wild, just running out there on the things that are of no profit. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what are the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? It's your thinking. Now, the Word of God says, don't be high-minded, but condescend to men of low estate. And a big part of the people's troubles today is in their high-mindedness. Every high thing. A man said to me the other day, was talking about, well, we were in the presence of death, and was talking about death and after death and heaven, and he said, well, if there is such a place, he said, I think there is, but says I've never been there yet, so I can't confirm it that there is such a place. But, folks, we have all kinds of evidence that there's such a place.
Amen.
But people get their minds to going. And high thoughts, scientific things, personal thinking, and so on. High things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We're living in an age of free thinking. There was an age like that back in the days of Tom Paine. He was a noted infidel and he campaigned on the issue of free thinking. Brought out and established what was known as, it was an organization known as the Free Thinkers. You know what the result of that was? That produced the French Revolution. And it was very bitter experiences in that French Revolution. When people cut their minds loose from God and God-directed thinking and get out on the free thinking line and they can go and go and go, but it's going to be trouble at the end.
Yes.
It'll lead folks away from God. God's Word said, Solomon wrote this, he said, "This one thing have I found, that God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions." And the way that text is stated, it indicates that his inventions have not led him any closer to God, but they've rather led him away from God. And the inventions of the mind and free thinking, and every fellow just entitled to his own thoughts. Just think whatever you want to think. I'll think whatever I want to think. We may disagree, but we're not going to have any problems over it. Everybody do their own thinking. There's only one kind of thinking that the Bible emphasizes as being fit for you and me to think, and that's according to Christ Jesus. He said, "Let us be of one mind according to Christ Jesus." Have the mind of Christ, and it's not free thinking either. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that sound like? Oh, you say, "I can't help what I think." God pity you if you can't.
Amen.
He's furnished you and me with the equipment and the power and the wherewithal to govern our minds, control our thoughts, and to captivate them and bring them into subjection to the will of God. Let us not charge God foolishly. And for us to say, in the face of this, that we can't help what we think, would surely be charging God foolishly. Let us not do that. But if we have problems with our thinking, let us appeal to God. In the 103rd Psalm, about the third verse, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, I think our minds work so backwards sometimes. So much in reverse. How easy it is for us to forget the things that would bless our lives, that would enrich our souls, that would strengthen our faith, and increase our relationship with God, and how hard it is for us to forget the things that plague us and that hold us down when we'd like to rise and pull us back when we'd like to go forward. Our mind's loaded up with unpleasant, undesirable things, doubtful things, different things. Our mind just cluttered and loaded up, suspicious thoughts running in our minds, different things. But he says, forget not all of his benefits, and they're pretty easy to forget. But now, why are they? How come they are? Looks like we'd never in our lives forget some of the benefits that we've received from the hand of the Lord. But somehow, they don't support us like they should when we get in difficulties again. But why is it? There's a problem involved here. It's because people's got their minds cluttered up with all these other things, unpleasant things, hard things, doubtful thoughts, and many, many unprofitable kinds of thoughts, till it crowds out the thoughts and the ability to remember the real benefits of the Lord and his blessings. Well, you say, I can't help it. Appeal to God. God's word said that he, right here in this 103rd Psalm, says he removes our iniquities as far from us as the east is from the west and remembers them no more.
Yes.
Now that isn't like I used to quote that. I used to quote it different from that. A lot of my brethren do too, and I remind them once in a while. I used to quote that scripture, he remembers them against us no more forever. And that's not what it said. It just said he didn't remember them. Removed our iniquities as far from us as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. Now, that's wonderful power in the mind, isn't it? God has the power and ability to put out of his mind and banish from his thoughts the idea that you and I were ever sinners. And any sins that we ever committed, when he puts them under the blood, he never remembers them anymore, never thinks of them.
Praise the Lord.
He has power to forget that I ever did any sin. All he can see of me now and of you is see us in Christ, and in Christ were the righteousness of God in him. And that's all he can see. He honors and respects his Son and the atonement that his Son made. And through him we become the righteousness of God in him. And that's the way God sees us and forgets that we were ever different from that. Well, what's the problem then? Did God get weak when he got in you and me? Well, we balk at that idea, do we not? Well, then what? Why? Just as I told you, we got our minds so cluttered up with other things that crowd out the thoughts that would enrich our lives and bless our souls. We poor human creatures, self-sympathizing as we are, anybody does anything that touches us, we can never forget it. They said this about me. They treated me this way. that didn't speak to me at church today, I can never forget it. Our minds work so backward. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said, "This one thing I do." He was getting right down to concentrated effort now. He said, "I do not claim to have apprehended. I'm not out ahead of the pack, so to speak. But this one thing I do, this is a central thing. I forget the things that are behind. Reach forth unto the things which are before." Paul had to do that. If he hadn't have done that, the things of the past would have destroyed him. If he had lain awake of nights thinking how people treated him and all them times he got in jail and how many times he got whipped and all of those things and the slanders and reports that went out on him and all of that, it had just built up and built up and built up till it would have crushed him under. Well, if it would do that to him, it'll do that to me too.
Amen.
It'll do the same thing to you. Paul came to the point that he realized, "I've got to unload here. I'm a ruined man." God help you and me to come to that point. To just realize I've got to unload here. Cast some things out. Pulling down strongholds. I used to think of the strongholds of Satan as the taverns and the honky-tonks and nightclubs and beer parlors and dance halls and dives and dens of sin of various kinds. That was the strongholds of Satan. Well, I'd think, now how are we going to get at them? How are we going to tear them down? The Bible said that we had weapons to pull down the strongholds. How are we going to handle that? God told me straight out one day, he said, "Don't worry about them things. They're of the world and the world's running them and you can't do anything about them." But he showed me that the strongholds that he was talking about was in the people's minds, in their thoughts. You know, in the 18th chapter of Proverbs in verse 19, we read that a brother offended is harder to gain than a strong city or a walled city. Now, those places are pretty difficult to conquer sometimes. It took a long siege at Jerusalem before it fell and was destroyed. It has taken long sieges at other points, fortified points, even on down in our day. In the Second World War, it just took some real long sieges and some real battering and bombing to break up some fortified positions. But he said a brother that's offended is harder to gain than that. Well, why? Why do you suppose that is? That a brother that's been offended is so difficult to recover. Well, I've discovered why it is. I know. It's because he's got a build-up in his mind. And he's mulled over that thing and it's mushroomed and it's grown up in his mind and enlarged and taken on several different aspects. And he's just got a build-up in his mind. And you can't make an approach to him because everything you say to him, he interprets according to what he's thinking. And the build-up he has in his mind. And he's been hurt. He's been offended. That creates a difficult situation. But my text this morning says that God has provided us with weapons to pull those things down. Sometimes you just have to lay siege to some of those kind of situations. But just keep calling on God and depending on Him and trusting in Him, and you pull them down after a while. You can break through if you use the weapons that God has given you. You can break through on the most offended person that you ever knew or ever saw. God supplied us with weapons, with power, with authority, with grace, and above all, the charity and love of God in our hearts to just pull down those strongholds that's built up in the people's minds. I say, if you think wrong thoughts, they're going to produce some wrong results in you, but you're to blame for it. You just shouldn't have done it. Why? He says He provided us with weapons here to govern our minds and control our thoughts. If you think doubtful thoughts till your faith becomes undermined in God or in your brethren, you just shouldn't have done that. You didn't have to do it. Those are not upbuilding, edifying thoughts. God gave you weapons to cast those things down and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you think suspicious thoughts toward somebody, until those thoughts begin to undermine your fellowship with them and your relationship with them, you're in trouble, folks. You shouldn't have done it.
Amen.
Shouldn't have entertained those kind of thoughts. Thought those kind of things. You should have cast those out back there before they started. To you who say you can't help what you think, I'll refer you to the old proverb. It's older than I am. I've heard it all my life, and no doubt you have too. You can't keep the birds from flying through the air over your heads, but you can stop them from building nests in your hair. You don't have to entertain those kind of thoughts. Reminds me of one brother. He was in a little case or conflict with another one, and the brother brought some kind of accusation against him, and he said, "Look here, brother," says, "you just get off where you got on." Said, "Let's just straighten that out right here." Well, that might have been a rather blunt approach to a brother, but I say it's all right to use to Satan. It's all right to use when he tries to impose thoughts in your mind, you just get off where you got on. Right here, I'm not accepting anything like that. If you think evil thoughts till it begins to produce evil results in you, you're to blame for that. You just shouldn't have done it. Because God furnished you with the weapons to control your mind and govern your thoughts. The 12th chapter of Romans, in the 3rd verse, he said, "This I say unto you by the grace of God given unto me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And folks, I'm going to tell you right here that the biggest part, 90% or more, of all of our problems comes from people thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And that's where our hurt feelings, and that's where our touchiness, and that's where our grudges and broken fellowships and everything comes in, is people thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Think soberly, he says. Get down here on a level. Brother Lewis Williams brought a message in one of the Pacoima camp meetings years back. I never forgot this point. He was preaching along the line of people humbling themselves and getting on down and so on. He said, somebody says, well, Brother Williams, how far down you want us to come? He says, just get on down here where you are. Said to most of us folks, we think of ourselves way up here when actually we're down here somewhere. So just get on down here where you are. Think of yourselves on even terms. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Just think of ourselves as we ought to think, and you won't have so much trouble thinking of other people as you ought to think. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, you know what, folks? I've discovered this, that it is so much easier for people to take an evil report and broadcast that than it is for them to just whip their minds in line and think on good things. Things of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that will build you up. That will strengthen your relationship with God and with your brethren. God wants us close to Him, but He wants us close to one another too. And it's highly important that there be a close bond of fellowship among the saints, every member of the body of Christ. It isn't going to function properly and go as it should until there is that. And that will be brought about by thinking of the things that He told us to think on in Philippians 4 and 8. And let me remind you that when God tells you to do something, He furnishes the necessary equipment for you to do it with. Amen. And if He tells you to think on these things, He provides you with the grace, the power, and authority, and equipment to govern your minds and control your thoughts in these channels. And to think on these things. Amen.